bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And today we are going to be diving deep into the new Star Wars novel, Resistance Reborn, by Rebecca Roanhorse. But first, I wanted to give you guys some anxiety. So, as of today, Disney Plus is officially here, which means that you can watch the first episode of The Mandalorian. The Jedi Fallen Order is in 3 days, 1 week until The Force Collector and Queen of Nothing comes out, 21 days until Children of Virtue and Vengeance comes out, 36 days until The Rise of Kylo Ren, and only 5 more Thursdays until The Rise of Skywalker. So how we feeling?
Stressed.
Stressed. It's a lot of stress, man.
Yeah, and like, I feel lucky because I got Force Collector early. Like, Indigo loves to send me the YA books early. So that'll leave me some more time to dive deep into Fallen Order, at least.
But yeah, because you were hearing that the gameplay was going to be a little harder.
Yeah, and I'm not a gamer, so it's scary. I just want to enjoy this for the storytelling, but I'm going to try playing. If that doesn't work out, I guess I'll watch a gameplay through, but we'll see what happens.
I'm still, like, firmly in my clown makeup of Fallen Order is going to be Serpent and Dove, but yeah. Star Wars.
Like, please, another enemies lovers.
Oh, if it's not, I mean, like, I'll understand, but also, like, missed opportunity.
I think either way, it sounds like the story is going to be really compelling, especially by the way Cameron Monaghan talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
About his character, yeah.
He talks about how, like, it's very, like, thoughtful and character-driven on, like, how they wanted to build the character of Cal, and that he's not supposed to be just, like, a carbon copy of, like, other Jedi, mm-hmm. and that it's really about him and how he stands on his own, yeah. and I'm really excited to see that. That sounds really awesome.
I think some people were a little concerned that because he's a Padawan that kind of escaped Order 66, it's going to be a bit of a copy of Kanan, but it really doesn't seem like it's going to be like that.
No, he doesn't sound like Kanan at all, which I'm really happy for, because, like, if that's what they wanted to do, they should have just made it Kanan, you know? But on top of that, so obviously by the time you guys are listening to this, you will probably have seen or will get to be watching the first episode of Mandalorian. We're recording this on Sunday, but we did get a Vanity Fair image of Ming-Na Wen's character, and I am so excited to see her.
Isn't she like an assassin?
I think so. She looks so good,
though.
Yeah,
her hair is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be able to watch The Mandalorian, which, like, a couple of months ago, I would not have been saying that, but I'm really excited to dive into it and see what it is, and I really think it's going to be different.
Yeah, I really do. I think we're going to go head deep into, like, the state of the galaxy in places where the New Republic isn't helping, and a little bit of a hint to Force Collector, but we're seeing that talking about in that book too, about the parts of the galaxy that just kind of were left in ruins after the war was over.
Yeah, like, that's one of the points that I really did like from Alphabet Squadron, where they talk about how the resistance was, or the rebellion wasn't ready to win. Like, they weren't ready to actually start their own government quite yet, so they didn't really have it all figured out. And I'm excited to see something specifically focusing on that that's not just in the books or just in the comics.
Yeah, and a new slate of like great characters, especially Kara. We've seen Gina talk about Kara a lot more in the past week or so. And I'm really excited for her character. She sounds like she'll be really interesting and very motivated by some things that she's holding to herself. It'll be interesting to see what it is.
Yeah, definitely. So you can watch episode one now, and then episode two will be out in about 10 days. Then it's going to release every Friday. So you can't binge it all at once, which is probably for the best.
It's good. Yeah.
I feel like if it all came out at once and then we got like right into the Rise of Skywalker, all of our brains would just be mush.
So. But also, right off of watching the Dark Crystal TV show recently, I didn't binge that. And it was so much more enjoyable.
That's true. Yeah. Like, did we both watch like one a day? Yeah. Is that how we did it? Yeah. Which was, it let it breathe because it was like very heavy. So that's really good. And I'll also say that I just recently rewatched. So like, I'm doing a Star Wars rewatch where I watch like one movie a week. And I just watched Return of the Jedi. And I'm very excited to now be into like immediate post Return of the Jedi world and like see it visually instead of just like reading about it and like kind of what's going on. Like that'll be really cool because like Return of the Jedi ends like so happy, but we know that like that's not at all what happens.
Mm-hmm. It really worked out well that this week was the week you watched Return of the Jedi.
I will say, so like, this is not a popular opinion, and please don't throw things at me, but Return of the Jedi is my least favorite Star Wars movie, which I still really like it. Like, I really like bits and pieces of it. Mostly what it comes down to is just there's a lot of battles, which I find kind of boring, but I did appreciate it more this time around. Like, I say this all the time, but, like, the more information I get, the more I just love going back and revisiting old things, mm-hmm. because things mean more. Like, I look at things differently. You get a different perspective. So, like, that's one of my favorite things about Star Wars is that it just constantly builds on itself, which is so cool because you can always go back and revisit stuff.
I've always had a love for Return of the Jedi, and I think it was my favorite when I was a kid. And I think that depending on when you came into Star Wars, it kind of, like, molds your feelings about that movie.
I definitely agree with that. I think you could also say that with The Phantom Menace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like if you were got into it as a kid, it will definitely affect, like, your ranking of some of the movies. So, like, I have no nostalgia factor. So, you know. But I do like Murder Bears. Murder Bears are really cool. Mm-hmm. I really like that. And Han is a good boy. I always think it's funny that, like, I used to really dislike Han. And now I'm like, aw, he's just an adorable little puppy just trying his best. And Luke is super gay. I'm sorry, but you can't tell me that Luke's not gay, because he is. He's super gay. But with all of that, we're going to go ahead and get into our talk of Resistance Reborn. And I will go ahead and read this inside cover, which is much shorter than normal.
Oh, thank good. You.
All right. So the heroes of the Resistance must fight back from the edge of oblivion in this pivotal prequel to Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. The Resistance is in ruins. In the wake of their harrowing escape from Crait, what was once an army has been reduced to a handful of wounded heroes. Finn, Poe, Rey, Rose, Chewbacca, Leia Organa, their names are famous among the oppressed worlds they fight to liberate. But names can only get you so far, and Leia's last desperate call for aid has gone unanswered. From the jungles of Ryloth to the shipyards of Corellia, the shadow of the First Order looms large, and those with the bravery to face the darkness are scattered and isolated. If hope is to survive, the Resistance must journey throughout the galaxy, seeking out more leaders, including those who, in days gone by, helped the rebellion topple an empire. Battles will be fought, alliances will be forged, and the Resistance will be reborn. Okay, so, thoughts.
First, spoiler-free thoughts, because we're going to go very spoilery. I think it's hard to approach this book without spoilers.
Yes.
Okay, so our spoiler-free thoughts. My first thing is that this book is, like, the most ambitious crossover in history, more so than Infinity War.
Get out of here, Endgame. Nobody, I don't know her. I only know Resistance Reborn.
Yeah, it really pulls from all aspects of canon, from books, from video games, from movies. We'll go into this a bit, but we were saying that this might be a bit of a challenging book to go into if you haven't consumed a lot of extra canon.
Yeah, so this book is tying in so many threads that Star Wars has been placing down ever since The Force Awakens. This is tying in Bloodline, Spark of the Resistance, Aftermath, Battlefront 2, Inferno Squad, the DLC for Battlefront 2. Yeah. Like, there are so many things converging on this book. And I, for one, so, like, when I first got into reading the Star Wars books, I did find it a little irritating when they would rely on cameos. Like, I still to this day find the Aftermath books hard to get through. I think that's more, like, the writing, not necessarily that I find it, like, I don't know who all these people are. But I do wonder if Resistance Reborn will hold up if you don't have all of these threads already. I think that the writing still makes it a really good book. I love how this book reads. But if you don't know who, like, Zay and Shriv are, if you don't know, like, characters from Bloodline, like, will this mean enough to you? Does that actually matter? I don't know.
Yeah. I would say Rebecca Roanhorse's characterization is the strongest point of this book. I would say all of the characters she gets.
It's amazing. Before, like, the only person I would really trust with Leia is Claudia Gray. But honestly, Rebecca Roanhorse writes Leia so well. She writes Rey really well. Like, I finally cracked the code on, like, what I think Rey's personality type is. I don't want anybody else ever writing Poe. Like, she just does it all so well. And, like, that's my jam, like, is character stuff. I think, like, I speak for both of us. Like, we like the characters more than, like, the battles and stuff. And that's really what this book is showcasing.
It's a very character-driven book, which is what we want, what we've been waiting for this entire year.
Yes. And I will also say that, like, when this says that it is, like, a pivotal prequel, that is hard to say, to The Rise of Skywalker, it really is. Because, like, it's really taking all of, you know, the extra material that we've gotten, like, outside of the movies, it's funneling it all into this book, and then it's going to feed directly into The Rise of Skywalker. And this does take place before Black Spire, so you can kind of get a better sense of, like, what's going on in Black Spire as well.
And before
but it Spark- really feels like it's all funneling it in.
Yeah, and before Spark of the Resistance also.
Yeah, it kind of fits weirdly with Spark of the Resistance, like you would say.
Yeah, we'll get into that with our spoiler discussion, I think.
Yeah. So, like, overall, I would say, like, I give this book, like, 10 out of 10. Absolutely loved it. And I do really recommend it. If you read this book and it's, like, one of your first Star Wars novels, I would really love to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it goes into stuff with the Aftermath books that, like, luckily it was the bigger threads, because some of the characters it mentions, I'm like, am I supposed to know who you are? Because, like, even though it's, like, I don't remember a whole lot from. All right. But I think with that, we're going to get into some spoiler talk. So, obviously, if you don't want to know anything about this book, please, you know, be careful. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. I would say there are two really big spoilers that you don't want to be necessarily spoiled on. One of them will only matter if you've read the other books, though.
Yeah. So I would say this is a spoiler warning for not only Resistance Reborn, but for Battlefront 2, the game, like the game and the DLC, Bloodline, Spark of the Resistance, and Aftermath. Can you think of any others that we might spoil?
Maybe the Poe comics? I haven't read the Poe comics.
No, I don't really have anything to say about the Poe comics. It's fine.
Okay. All right. I feel like there's, like, one bit from the Poe comics where it's just like, I don't think it's really a spoiler that these characters are together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really all feeds into this. Okay, so I wanted to start off by saying that the way this book opens really kind of set my expectations for what we were going into. Because, like, I went into this book with like really low expectations because I heard that it was going to be mostly about Poe and Wedge Antilles, and I'm like, don't care. But this book starts off with a prologue of somebody crashing, and they're on like a TIE fighter, but they're not, you know, with the First Order. And it really reminded me of Paige's death.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on here? Like, what are we getting ourselves into?
It sets the stakes really high from the first chapter.
Yeah. And I think it kind of sets up, like, this book, more than anything, is really talking about, like, finding hope again and finding redemption. Like, this is about people who are looking for second chances and are wanting to make better choices. And seeing this person who they're not with the First Order, and yet they're flying over this city who it's not even like a weird thing that this TIE fighter is flying over them. Like, they're not even looking up. Like, it really sets the stage for like the state of the galaxy right now.
And this is on Corellia, I believe, the prologue.
Yes.
And Corellia is so surrounded by the First Order at this point that it's not weird.
No. And like, that kind of goes into, so, you know, at the end of The Last Jedi, Leia sent out this distress call. Like, she's calling her allies to her and nobody answers. So it leaves like a couple of things, like, did people, you know, just not hear her? Are they going into hiding, or do they just not want to answer the call? And we do find out in this book that the First Order is rounding up resistance sympathizers. But it's also, there's a really big theme in this book of, you know, maybe the First Order wouldn't be that bad. Like, maybe we should just let them win. We don't know what's going on. And it's even said that what happened to the Hossian system feels very distant and unreal. Like, that violence couldn't possibly touch you.
And to go back to what we were talking before, when the rebellion won and formed the new Republic government, there were a lot of planets that were kind of set aside. So they remember it being better under the Empire than under the New Republic.
That even feeds into resistance with Tam's arc. Like, she talks about how her, you know, like, under the Empire, like, her grandfather or her father, I can't remember, you know, like, they were just trying to survive. Like, they were just making a living. And she sees the First Order as, like, law enforcers. Like, they're what's right. They're trying to make everything organized. So there are definitely people who they're tired of war. Why would they want to join the resistance when it's just going to start another war with maybe something that might not be that bad because they haven't seen it? When it opens up with Poe with Black Squadron, he is, you know, like, they just rescued this city from a First Order attack, but the leader of that world will not join the resistance. And Poe is thinking, like, if I can't even persuade this world, who was literally just attacked by the First Order, how the heck am I ever going to persuade people who have never seen violence from the First Order?
Here he's,
like, that's a big thing.
He's thinking that perhaps First Order occupation wouldn't be so terrible, that cooperation was a more viable strategy than war, and that maybe there was even financial profit in joining the First Order.
Yeah.
Poe is thinking that people he's trying to persuade are thinking that.
Exactly, yeah. The way that Poe is written in this book absolutely blew me away.
And,
like,
we've never been Poe fans.
No.
And
I like him in fiction.
Exactly. But, like, we've mentioned to each other, at least, is that this book reads like fic in all the great ways.
Yes. I mean, even, like, so we all got, you know, they released that one passage where Leia's talking to Rey and they're talking about Ben and all of this. And that scene ends with Leia getting this, like, message from Poe about him, like, going to a party. And, like, I literally wrote down, I'm like, if Leia had said, Rey, you're also going to this party, like, we've read that fic.
Yeah. As soon as they were going to the party, I was like, I've read this.
I've read this fic. I mean, later on in the book, they go to, like, a formal wear party.
And it's,
like,
amazing.
I love it.
The best scene,
like,
in the book.
It's so great. Oh, man. But yeah, like, that's the mindset that we're going into here, is that people who haven't seen the violence of the First Order, like, it's so easy to just turn a blind eye to it because maybe it would be better. And part of this book is also dedicated to somebody turning away from the First Order and how he's deciding, like, maybe I need to be better because he kind of witnesses some violence, like, firsthand. Mm-hmm. And a big part of this book as well is that the Resistance is slowly becoming made up of people who are looking for redemption.
Mm-hmm. And I think we can get into that little passage. So this whole talk about redemption starts when one character is questioning one of their new recruits on why they're with the Resistance, because they were a former Imperial.
Basically, you know, he's calling it out, and Poe starts talking about how, like, well, it's not just, you know, that. Like, it's, hang on, where is it?
The end of 147? It says it's until 151.
Yeah, so, like, he calls it out, and Poe decides, you know, like, all right, we're gonna actually talk about this. And so he asks, like, they've recruited, like, an ex-Imperial, and is like, you know, why are you here? And she says it's because it was wrong, like, because being with the Empire was wrong, and she didn't know it at the time. She was young and ambitious, so she joined the Empire. And it's not just that, like, it's also Wedge Antilles. Like, he was also with the Empire. We also have we also have Finn, who was with the First Order, and even Poe himself gets called out because of everything that he did in The Last Jedi. And he said his point is that many of us have dubious beginnings, but it's how we end that counts.
We even get at this point a call out to Iden Versio with Zay saying, my mother was an Imperial officer, but she defected, she and my father. They died for the Resistance. Ask Leia, she knows. And then, like, yeah. Leia even mentions her father being Vader.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, yeah, everyone has been affected by redemption.
Everybody has. Like, everybody here is just trying to make better choices. And Poe, and I cannot believe these words coming out of Poe's mouth, but he's like, we've all made choices. Choices that caused harm, led to destruction, even at times death. We are all responsible for our deeds, the great and the terrible. But if we define ourselves only by what we've done, only by our failures, then this resistance, this spark, it dies here and now.
I
and that all really leads into Bendemption.
Yeah, and like you had said, MC mentioned that Poe is going to be an advocate for Bendemption, she thinks.
It's amazing. Like, at the beginning of this book, like, on page 29, like, he is talking to Jessica Pava, which, again, she is all over fan fiction, so reading like fic. But they're talking about going and finding this ex-Imperial, and she doesn't know, like, what the point of that would even be. And he says, you know, like, there's a point. Like, they're not all evil. Like, maybe they were looking for, like, a way to pay for their crimes. And she's like, are you talking about redemption? Do they even deserve it? And he says it's not redemption. It's penance. And it's just like, oh. Yeah, they're all wondering what it would take to atone for crimes as dark and horrifying as those the Empire had committed. Wondering if they could judge when none of them had spotless hands.
So Maz is even talking to Poe about taking down the First Order, because Poe is trying to entice her to come lead the Resistance with him. And she's kind of like, you can't single-handedly rebuild this Resistance from, because it's basically 12 people at the end of The Last Jedi. And he's saying he can do it alone if he has to. And she's just calling him arrogant. And she even says, you know who else is arrogant? The First Order. And then he says the First Order is evil.
Yeah, but she says that she's seen evil in many forms. Yeah. The First Order is no worse than the Sith or the Empire or countless others who would use the dark side. As always, they must be countered with the light. Like, and she has her own way of fighting. Like, not everything is about armadas and starfighters. Like, Poe at the beginning of this book is trying... he's haunted by what he did in The Last Jedi, which is something that I never thought we were going to explore. Yeah, he looks at Rose and he sees that he killed her sister.
He thinks about it.
Yeah, he thinks about the fact that he got Paige killed. He thinks about the fact that the, you know, the resistance doesn't have any leaders, and he is partially responsible for Admiral Holdo dying because he staged that coup. Mm-hmm. Like, it all haunts him, and he just wants to make better choices. Like, he even, when he confronts Black Squadron, like, he meets back up with them, he's like, I have to tell you this, and if you don't want to be with me anymore, I fully understand.
The growth that we saw within this book with Poe's character is nothing that I ever expected, so it exceeded my expectations by a landslide. And at the end of this book, like, near the end, there's this kind of gathering of the leaders, of the leadership, and they're kind of throwing around ideas, and Poe says something, and he holds himself back because he realizes, you know, we're not supposed to be thinking that way anymore. And, like, and Leia notices him changing and becoming the leader that she needs him to be for them to win this war.
I mean, he beats himself up because he is supposed to be Leia's right hand. Mm-hmm. And, like, he messed up so bad.
Yeah.
And there's so much resting on Leia. Like,
Leia ended up in space because of kind of a chain reaction of things that he did.
Yeah. For, like, 100%. And, like, she feels so weary. Like, we're talking about people who maybe don't want to join the resistance because, like, they don't want to start another war. Like, Leia is having nightmares about being in space and how she has failed everyone around her. Like, at the end of this book, she even says that joining the resistance is a death sentence to their allies. Mm-hmm. Like, she is really feeling it. And, like, Poe is supposed to be her second in command. He's supposed to be somebody who can take this weight off of her.
Yeah.
And he is really beating himself up over this. And by the end of this book, I feel like he's finally figuring out how to be a leader and to not think just for himself and, like, oh, we have to go and we have to beat him up. Because, like, going in and beating him up, like, that's what got the New Republic in the mess that they got into. They have to be better. They have to be leaders. They have to figure out what to do once the First Order is gone. Mm-hmm.
They've set him up to be taking over Leia's position. And I'm not sure that we would have necessarily gotten this much of a trajectory if Carrie was still around.
We'll never know truly, like, how much she was supposed to be in episode 9. And there's been leaks from, like, what Colin Trevorrow was going to do. And, like, I'm so glad that he's writing so Star Wars anymore. But I love the direction that this is going. And that, like, Leia has been the hope of rebellion and resistance for so long. Like, there's even a quote, like, at the very beginning of this book, when she is, like, thinking about things and, like, thinking about her nightmares, like, failing her son. And she says that she had to put all that self-indulgent, like, that self-pitying things, like, away because she has work to do. Like, she can't sit there and, like, take pity on herself or mourn the losses because she has to lead. And Poe is finally stepping up and, like, taking that burden off of her shoulders. And that's amazing. Like, it's making me wonder, like, if Leia does die, or maybe she just steps down, like, it's gonna feel satisfying. Like, I can honestly say that I feel like the resistance is in good hands.
Yeah, Poe really earned his spot as leadership in this book.
Oh, God, can you believe?
Like, us praising Poe.
Poe has rights. Who knew? I also want to say on page 145, there's, like, he's talking about the new recruits that they've gotten. So a big part of this book, like half of this book, is them going out and finding leaders. So we actually revisit some aftermath stuff with Snap Wexley going and finding his mom and Wedge Antilles and a couple of other things. And he's talking about this mix between rebel veterans, fresh faces, ex-imperials. And he says, the old and the young, both caught up in this war, both fighting for the same things, yet somehow fighting each other. Might as well punch yourself in the face, he thought. That last thought stopped him in his tracks. Is that what Maz had been trying to tell him? That he was fighting himself? Like, Poe! He's so nuanced!
It makes me wonder, because we've always speculated if Carrie was still around, she was going to be like the main driving force of this last movie to bring Ben home, essentially. Now, obviously, Poe is not going to bring Ben home, but if he is sympathetic to his redemption arc, because Poe, for a lot of us, is somewhat of like an audience member and like kind of like watching Rey's story unfold with Kylo. So it would be like so awesome to see him accept it.
Poe is the, I love Star Wars. I want to blow things up. I want to fly ships. I want to be cool type of person, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's like, I don't want to like call out people or like sound like I'm judging people, but like he's kind of like the typical male Star Wars fan, right? Like he's almost like kind of like a Han Solo, like a self-insert type of thing. And so to see him make these mistakes and to make these mistakes of, you know, like I know best and all of this, and then to feel that remorse and to make these better choices and come back from it, and then to see him recognize that like, we're all looking for redemption. Who mm-hmm. am I to judge when I have blood on my hands as well? And for him to be maybe one of the first ones who's going to come around to Ben Solo's redemption, that's a big deal.
It's big.
Like, that is a huge thing. And, like, I always read Poe as just this, like, cocky flyboy, like, there's not much to him, which is, yeah. like, that's kind of how I read Han in the beginning, too. But, like, there's so much more to him.
I just saw Poe is expendable.
Yeah.
And now I don't see him as expendable. There's like people saying like, oh, what if Poe dies in episode 9? Like, no, I don't want that.
I don't think he can die in episode 9. Because like, how would he die? Like, you would think that maybe he would die making like a heroic choice, like sacrificing himself from the First Order. But like, that goes against what Finn's arc was about in The Last Jedi, because it was, you know, it's not worth sacrificing yourself. You have to say what you know, say what you love, not fight what you hate. I mean, Holdo does do that as well. But like, Poe goes through all of this growth and he realizes like how important leaders are. Like, he is so important to the Resistance. Like, I don't think, like, he has to survive. Who's gonna lead a new like Resistance or a new government if Poe's gone? I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously we have Rose and we have Connix, which are like huge members of the Resistance. And I think Poe interacting with Rose is something that like I really want and something I really want to see.
I think we're going to see that.
I think mm-hmm. we are too. Like, it's amazing. Like, he goes through so much growth, and I just like, the way that that even gets imparted onto Finn is mm-hmm. beautiful. And I think that even brings us to their, you know, relationship in this book.
And now, and like, and the one thing I want to say before we approach the relationship is, now I want to rewatch The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, like, watching Poe. Like, specifically watching Poe and seeing him make decisions. And knowing everything that we know from this book, like, just reading him, like, so differently and knowing that, like, this change is coming.
I even see that, like, even a little bit, like, with before The Awakening. So, like, that was him being recruited by Leia from, you know, he was with the New Republic Navy. And, like, we see that in the comic as well, that, like, he's just, like, this really good flyer, and he just wants to fly, and he wants to blow things up. Like, he's very energetic. And, like, it's the women in his life. Like, the way he's been impacted by Leia, the way he was impacted by Holdo, the way he's impacted by Paige and Rose have all had this, like, amazing impact on him and have mm-hmm. turned him into, I just want to blow things up, and I just want to fly, and oh, I'm so cool, and I love my hair, and oh my god, all the hair stuff in this book, to somebody who is a leader and who is ready to step up and who is ready to, like, accept people for who they are, like, regardless of what has happened to them in the past. Like, if you are willing to make better choices, he is going to stand for you. And, like, that is outstanding, and that is pure feminine gaze.
He's putting his trust into people again.
Oh, man. Do I stand Poe?
Yes, I stand Poe.
Oh my gosh. I'm a post-an.
I can't. Wow. I really hope he's going to be in some Resistance episodes now to see the new and improved Poe. Like,
can you? I just, wow. Wow.
Like, can you imagine seeing Black Squadron on Resistance, like, coming up soon?
Ugh. Could you imagine, like, the things he could say?
To Kaz! About Tam!
Oh my god. He would accept Tam and bring her back to the light. I cannot believe this. This is the biggest twist of 2019. Wow. Okay. But that does bring us to the relationships in this book. We do get a lot of Finn in this book. And I think everybody was excited because if you're going to talk about Poe, you want to see Finn because they're best friends. You know, they have such great chemistry together. Like, you want to see that. And they do get to go on an adventure together in this book. But here's the thing. So, in chapter 20, it is directly addressed. We directly address the topic of Finn Rose and Finn Rey. Because Poe asks Finn directly, like, hey, what's going on with you and Rey? And Finn says, oh, no, we're just friends. And he's like, well, then what about you and Rose? And he says, oh, we talked about it. That was kind of like a heat of the moment type of thing. Again, just friends. And that's very, that's a very interesting thing to include in this book.
Yeah, I was taken aback. Completely.
Yeah, I was very surprised.
Because we had just read Spark of the Resistance, and you can go back and listen to our review of that. That book takes place after this book. Finn isn't really in that, but Rose is. And I got the impression from that book that they were together.
Yeah, she's always thinking about him, and even in the New Allegiance comics, like, she's always kind of thinking about him as well. And so,
do I need to revisit those and read it, like, with a non-romantic subtext and be like, oh, yeah, like, I was just reading like that because of the kiss in Last Jedi?
Well, here's the thing. This happens in Fix, too.
Yeah.
Like, this even happens in, so, like, I've been reading, we could build a house. No, we could plan a house, we could...
What's the name of that thing? A house, we could build a tree.
Yes, I've been reading that off and on, and in a lot of fics, especially ones that are post The Last Jedi, like, a lot of people, you know, are Storm Pilot fans, and you'll see, you know, background Storm Pilot in a lot of Reylo fics. But then after The Last Jedi, people are like, well, it's probably going to be Finn Rose, and I like that ship too, so they'll kind of like play with both. And sometimes what you'll find is that, like, it'll start with Finn Rose. And it won't work out, but it'll be like a mutual thing. Or maybe Rose still has feelings for Finn, but Finn is actually gay and, like, all of this kind of stuff. That is exactly how this read to me.
Yeah.
It reads
very romantically.
Are we not being baited? Is Storm Pilot actually happening?
That's the first thing I told you when I got to that page. Like Oscar... And John have been under so much fire for baiting the fandom. But are they not baiting the fandom?
Like, maybe they're joking because we'll think that they're just baiting us. But, like, they're actually teasing because it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, I just... Okay, so we get into it. You know, it's page 83. It's directly addressed. Page 183, yeah, those ships are directly addressed. And what's happening at this point in the book is that we've discovered that there is a list of all of the members of, there's a list of all of the people who are sympathetic to the Resistance that the First Order is, you know, rounding up, and they're going off of this list. And it's being auctioned off at a birthday party on Corellia. And Poe is going to go in and get this list. We also have another team that's going to rescue a couple of the prisoners that is being held on Corellia. And so Poe is going to go undercover into this party, and he's going with Finn. Finn is like his plus
date.
One.
Yeah.
It's his date. And like they get formal wear, and Poe helps Finn tie his tie.
The tropes.
the tropes.
Also, can I just mention that Poe refers to Finn in this entire section of the book as the younger man?
The younger man. Which, honestly, like, Noodle Pilot writes, maybe he has a thing for younger men.
You're right. Maybe.
And we were talking to MC from What the Force, or I was talking to her about it, and she doesn't read it as romantic. She reads it as just, like, you know, these guys that are exploring, like, guy-guy relationships, and, like, you know, a lot of times guy friends, like, won't be as, like, touchy-feely with each other, or, like, all that kind of stuff, and that this is kind of exploring that. But I can't, like, the tropes cannot be denied. Mm-hmm. Like, Poe walks in to Finn's room and, like, has a moment where he's like, wow, Finn looks really good. And, like, Finn is super embarrassed because he can't tie his tie. And so, like, he gets behind it and, like, it ties his tie. And, like, this happens in Dark Disciple as well. There's a formal thing in that where he's like, wow, Ventress is so pretty. And it's like, you know, are we crazy?
I don't think so. I think you can read it either way. We both immediately went romantic, though.
Yeah. I really feel like if they... Part of me is so worried that we're going to get into episode 9 and Janna is going to be Finn's love interest and Zori is going to be Poe's love interest. And, like, that is so boring.
I don't think
so. And it makes me really irritated.
I actually don't think so. I think that Zori's a past lover of Poe's. And Janna is a new Resistance member. Some people think she might be Finn's sister, which maybe, or just a new friend. Like, I don't think they're going to go that way.
I really hope they don't.
I think if Finn was going to be with a girl, they would have just kept him with Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because why introduce another one? And when you think about, you know, everything that him, like, John and Oscar has said, like, especially around Celebration, like, you know, I really read Finn as, you know, he's been with the First Order for, like, a long time. He's never really been able to explore, like, his sexual feelings or his desires. And, like, maybe, like, he is gay. Maybe he does, you know, have feelings for Poe. And he's never really been able to explore that. And, like, a lot of people have always read Poe as, like, pansexual or bisexual or anything because he's just a very sexual character. And, like, I really see it. And it's a lot softer than I ever thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's really gentle.
I really want Poe to give Finn his ring.
Oh my gosh, the ring!
The ring!
I forgot about the ring! Okay, so let me explain the ring.
Please do.
Poe wears a ring around his neck, like on a necklace. I believe it's his mom's, right?
Yeah.
And he's supposed to give it to the person he marries.
Yep. And I just, like, the way he thinks about Finn, because, like, this book is told from a lot of different perspectives, but it's never told from Finn's. It's mostly Poe's and Wedge Antilles and Leia's. The way he thinks about Finn and just the way, like, you know, Finn lights up and he loves to see his enthusiasm and all of this, like, it's
soft.
It's like a fanfic.
It's soft.
It's so soft, and I want it to happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I never, like, really humored the idea of wanting to happen, like, especially recently, because of just, like, you know, oh, like, they paired it up with Rose. They've been baiting the fandom. Like, I haven't really given it much thought, and now I'm like, so Storm Pilot.
Well, because, like, if anything, I've been more angry towards, like, Storm Pilot because of the baiting. And I'm like, God, I can't believe they're doing this. And, like, they're getting people's hopes up and they're going to get let down. Like, do they understand? But then this happens and, like, it's just so explicit. And I'm like, are they not baiting us? like honestly, only time will tell. Like, we'll find out in episode 9. I'm trying to still keep my expectations, like, low.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, Kylo Ren really did reach out his hand to Rey. Yeah. A lot of people didn't think that was going to happen.
Everyone's talking about, like, oh, like, how's this Reylo kiss going to happen? How many times are they going to kiss? But maybe we should be asking, when is Storm Pilot going to kiss? How many times are they going to kiss? Where are they going to kiss?
What a power... Could you imagine... Like, what a power move for Disney, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to have this major franchise... And to have, like, explicit Storm Pilot.
Please.
Like, I don't know how brave or how bold they are willing to go. But honestly, if you're going to do it anywhere, like, Star Wars is so huge that, like, it's not going to... It's going to make money no matter what. Like...
And we heard this week from the shareholders meeting that there are more shows in production... than just the ones we know about. Like, could they do a Finpo series?
Oh my gosh.
And how awesome and would that be?
And if, like, Oscar Isaac has already done voice acting for Resistance. Like, mm-hmm. It could even be animated.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Because we know that the Rise of Skywalker is about the Skywalkers. So I'm not expecting them to, like, explore Poe and Finn that much. But if they did a spin-off series, then they could explore them as much as they want.
Yes, definitely. And a big thing about, like, this is technically the first, you know, journey to the Rise of Skywalker book. And regardless if you read it or not, like, it is setting up things. And it's doing important character work. And, like, we've talked about this. We were sure that it was going to focus more on Poe because Poe isn't going to be... Like, he's going to be a focus in the movie, but, like, you couldn't do all of this character work in The Rise of Skywalker because there's too much else mm-hmm. going on. So, like, it's happening in the book so that he can be, you know, the leader that he needs to be in the movie. And even if you haven't read it, it'll still translate and it'll be fine. So, like, the fact that it even gets set up a little bit in this book, like, with Storm Pilot, like, I could really... see that. I could really see them leaning into it.
Yeah.
And it still makes me wonder about, like, what they're going to do with Rose and what her part is going to be. But, like, again, we see this in, like, every fan fiction.
Yeah.
Like, it's Rebecca Roanhorse.
Right.
I trust you with my life.
I trust her the way I trust Claudia Gray.
Yeah.
Like, please write more Star Wars.
Please write more Star Wars. Like, I want a whole Poe book. Like, yeah. Just Poe.
Give me more Poe books. More.
Wow. Who are we? Okay. But do you have anything else that you want to say about Poe or Finn or anything before we move on to some other characters?
No, we can move on. I'd like to talk about the list a little bit.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so this list that we mentioned earlier, it's a list of people in the galaxy who are sympathetic to the Resistance that the First Order is hunting down. And there's another list that's characters that are already captured by the First Order. And there were two people in particular who were interesting on these lists. One being a mysterious character where their last known location was Castellan. So who do you think that could be?
Like, it's got to be Yeager, right?
I think so. I think it's Yeager.
Or, I mean, maybe Joza?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Like, cause the thing about the list is that it just gives you the the person's initials and then, like, a number. So... like, we don't know who any of these people are. Like, we can only guess. And so this one was just last known location, Castellan, which was where Resistance was taking place until the Colossus left. So unless there's some mystery character that we haven't met on Resistance yet, like, I could definitely see it being Yeager.
Mm-hmm.
That also kind of makes me wonder, so, like, part of this book is, you know, they're going out and they're looking for... allies. They don't ever mention Resistance, really, which I didn't expect them to, but we are at a point in Resistance as well where it's like they need to start trying to meet back up with the resistance and with Leia, and like their communications have been down, like all of this, but I am still waiting for when like they'll get a call from Poe and it's like, we haven't set up a base, we need you to go and do this thing, you know.
I'd like to see them meet up.
Oh, 100%. Like I want more Poe.
And then the other person on the list who's captured is a very special character from Bloodline. And this is big spoiler warning.
If you haven't left already,
this is big. Okay. So Ransom Casterfo.
Yes. He has been captured by the First Order. And when I read his name,
I screamed.
Put the book down. Yeah. It's like,
so it's like, been, holy crap. It's been what, 6 years since we've last seen him?
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 years since Leia didn't know what happened to him. She didn't even know if he was still alive.
Yeah. And like, you know, he was a big part. So if you haven't read Bloodline, he was a huge character in Bloodline, because basically it was about Leia and Casterfo.
Yeah.
Because they were on opposite sides within the New Republic. Like, the First Order is kind of just, you know, burgeoning at this point. And it's how they come together. And he is a really interesting character. He collects Empire memorabilia. He becomes really good friends with Leia. And yeah, at the end of this book, like, we don't know what happens to him. And here he is captured by the First Order as a prisoner on Corellia.
I had not been thinking about this character for a while. I didn't really think, like, he disappeared at the end. He might be dead. He may have been sentenced to death on his planet. I wonder what happened to him. And this is what happened to him.
I totally, like, forgot the end of Bloodline. I was like, wait, what's happening?
I listened to the audiobook maybe, like, a couple months ago. So
I need to reread it.
Mm-hmm.
I've read Bloodline twice, but like Bloodline has always been an interesting one for me because it was like I read it before I knew anything, so I didn't know anything. And then I read it again and I'm like, oh, this is better. And now I'm still like, I still need it again.
Yeah, last time I listened to it. I've read it twice too, once in book form and then once audiobook. And I really, really enjoyed it again. It's a really good book.
Yeah. He doesn't have a whole lot to do in this book. Mostly, like, he's name dropped and then they rescue him while Poe and Finn are infiltrating this party. He's being rescued. And so nothing really, like, comes from that. I feel like maybe we might see, like, a cameo with him if we get more stuff in that time gap between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker. Or, I mean, he could even be in The Rise of Skywalker, just, like, in the background. Like,
he's flying one of those ships.
He's flying the Falcon.
He's flying the Falcon, yeah. He's not Lando.
He's Matt Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh, this whole time, like, oh, Matt Smith is playing, like, young Palpatine. Nope.
No, he's Casterfo. There is another character from Bloodlines that's, like, a really big part of this book, and that is a character named Yendor. And here's the thing. I read Yendor, and I'm like, oh, my God, Thane's friend from Lost Stars. I totally forgot that he was in Bloodline, too. I've read Lost Stars more recently. He's a Twi'lek. He was Thane's friend in the Rebellion. Like, he flew X-Wings. And then he becomes an ambassador during the time period for Bloodline. And he's the one who kind of, like, tips off Leia about, like, what's all going on in that book. And so in Resistance Reborn, they go to Ryloth to ask him for help. Like, if they can just dock there for a little while. And I really loved him in this book, like, to see him and Leia interact, like, they're such old friends, and he has children, and one of his children, like, dies at the end of this book, and Leia feels so personally responsible for that.
She has to tell him.
Yeah, she has to tell him, and he was going to go and sacrifice himself because he was so overcome with grief, and she convinces him, like, you need to live on and fight another day, like, it's it's heavy at the end of this book.
They're all just dealing with a lot of grief at the end of this book.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like the way this book ends, it's on such like a... The resistance is growing, but it's still small. Like, the spark is still there. Like, that's the thing, is like the spark has not gone out.
Yeah.
But it's still, they're still on the run. They still haven't found a home yet. And hope is still alive, but it's pretty bleak. And it does make you wonder, like, what's going to happen at the beginning of Rise of Skywalker, because the First Order is so big. Like, they've been secretly building ships on Corellia and, like, stealing ships and all of this. Like, their fleet is huge. And at the beginning of Resistance Reborn, they're just the Falcon. So, what's gonna happen?
I think they're all of them are gonna have to split up and recruit.
Yeah. Which is kind of what we've been seeing.
Yeah.
Like exactly a big part like of this book is that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, like we said, it feeds into Black Spire, which is, we don't, and it even gives some context to that line. Like, Leia tells Vi, we don't have anybody to send to you for help. And she wants Vi to, you know, try to figure out if we can, like, make a sustainable base. But we do know that eventually the First Order is going to find them there and that they're going to be on the run again, because Batuu is apparently not where we're going to be starting Episode 9. It's not that jungle planet. So they're spending so much time running, and they're trying to get ships, and they're trying to find recruits, and it's not just soldiers. Like, they need leaders as well.
And I wonder, so they end up on Batuu in, is it 6 months after?
Yes.
And this like book, this book takes place pretty immediately after The Last Jedi.
I was gonna pull that out, but it's stuck in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes place, like, pretty much right after. And what I do like is, you know, Black Squadron had been sent off on another mission. So we go back and we meet up with them. We also meet back up with Inferno Squad, which at the moment is just...
Love Inferno Squad.
Yes, it's Shriv and mm-hmm. Aiden Versio's daughter, Zay. And they're also looking for people. They are also out there finding ships as well. That was really exciting.
Can I just say how much I love their dynamic?
Yes.
There, you see a little bit of it in the DLC, but not much of it. And Rebecca just runs with it, with this father-daughter relationship, this kind of adopted father daughter like relationship, and she's a teenager, so she's like, she feels like she's an adult and she can do things for herself, and he still feels like this responsibility to take care of her since her parents passed away.
Well, and he refers to himself as her uncle, doesn't
he?
Yeah, like, that's adorable.
I love them.
And like, if you haven't listened, like, we did a whole episode about Aiden, and we went into, like, the Battlefront games and everything. But just to see, like, you know, Aiden started out as this, like, really high-ranking Imperial, and then she became a very pivotal piece for the Rebellion, and she made so many friends. And to know that Zay got to grow up, you know, like, with her mom and, like, in this loving, like, environment, and she lost her in such, like, a horrible way, like... I really loved seeing Zay in this book. I wish we could have gotten more. Mm-hmm. I understand why we didn't. I feel like their side of the story didn't fit a whole lot, but I'm still glad we got to see them.
Well, I think the plot that they went on was not necessary, but the character moments between the two of them was very, like, I'm very welcoming to that. I loved it.
Yeah, it's like the pacing got a little weird, but I pretty much forgive it because I liked seeing that dynamic.
And I just, the Versios are so great, and I feel like they don't get enough appreciation. Battlefront 2 doesn't get enough appreciation because of all
Inferno
of the
Inferno Squad
EA.
Doesn't get enough appreciation.
Because of all of the EA crap. Aiden Versio's story is just so, it's so great.
It's so, so good. Another really emotional part. So if you haven't read Aftermath, a big part of that is that we're with Nora Wexley, which is Snap Wexley's mom, and they kind of like form a squad and they join the rebellion and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And she and Wedge Antilles fall in love and get married. And in this book, it's so devastating. Like, Poe's like, I'm so sorry, Snap, but, like, I have to ask you to recruit your mom for this cause, yeah. Which is basically giving them, like, a death sentence. Yeah. And they both understand this. They both even say, like, if we join the resistance, we're never coming back to our home here. We're probably going to die.
Mm-hmm. And even Snap realizes that, it's, like, it's this crazy struggle that, like, I'm so glad we saw it. This struggle mm-hmm. of them between, like, duty to doing what's right, but also having this, like, well-earned, like, retirement, basically.
Yeah, it's, like, they definitely earned their quiet life, like, having a farm of their own. It really reminded me of Galen and Lyra at the beginning yeah. of Rogue One. Obviously, they were hiding, but... It reminded me of that. It kind of makes me think of, like, where are Sienna and Thane as well. Like, it was so cool to see. And by the end of this book, Snap calls Wedge dad. And, like, I was like, I'm emotionally yeah. compromised.
Who would think that, like, Threads from Aftermath would come back and make you emotional?
Right? And I was like, everybody was like, oh, Wedge Antilles is in this book. And I'm like, I don't care. And then Snap was like, I love you, Dad. And I'm like, oh, my God. And at the same time, too, I'm like, Snap, I don't care. And then it's like, they become so close. And I'm like, It just, like, Rebecca Roanhorse just did such an amazing job. Again, it comes down to her character. Like, her character work is so well done. And again, like, I haven't seen the like of it other than Claudia Gray. Because, like, when Claudia Gray writes books, like, even, like, in Master and Apprentice, when it's getting kind of, like, bogged down with, like, Jedi and whatever, we also have Pax and Rahara, who are amazing and, yeah. like, original characters. And so, like, I loved seeing that in this book.
Who would have thought our favorite books from this year would be
oh my God. The one
starring Qui-Gon Jinn and Poe?
I'm still not a Qui-Gon stan, though.
But you enjoyed the book, right?
I did enjoy the book. I respect him. Does he respect women? I don't know. But yeah, like, that's... Who are we? Like, is this reminding me of when... Skytalkers were like, ships! Like, actual flying ships! Who are we? I'm like, Poe and Qui-Gon. Oh, man. So, with that, I think we're ready to move in to Leia and Rey's character in this book. So, Leia also, I think, is, you could say, like, one of the main characters. Like, a big chunk of it is told from her perspective. And she spends a lot of time with Rey. And Rey doesn't have a huge part to play in this book. But the moments that we do get of Rey
yeah. are
fascinating.
It's the things that she doesn't say that add to her character.
It's the way that other people think about her, too. Mm-hmm. Like, how Poe thinks about her.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's the perception and her quietness.
She's quietness is brought up so many times.
Yeah. Because Rey isn't necessarily... a quiet person, but she's keeping things so close to her chest right now.
Mm-hmm. And, like, here's the thing. So, everything that we've gotten of Rey so far has been, like, so heightened. You know, like, you have to think about, like, The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi all happened so fast. So, we haven't had any moments with Rey where she's just kind of, like, nothing's really going on. There's always been some bigger issue. And so now we do have, like, this lull. It's this quiet period. And Rey has been through so much. Like, she's left her home. She's discovered that she has this power and she doesn't know what it means. She doesn't know what to do with it. She has this connection with a broody space prince across the stars. And there's just so much going on. And she is keeping it all very close to her chest. She's very quiet. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know what to do. And I think all of this feeds into why what we've gotten so far with episode 9, she seems so angry. And, you know, like, people keep telling her that they know her, but no one does.
And what you get from Rey in this book is all through other people's eyes. especially Leia. And we saw that a little bit in the passage that they released early. She just has so much on her shoulders, so much weight.
Everything that we get from Leia, I really feel like Leia kind of, she understands a little bit. I think as much as, like, she could understand Luke, you know, about what Rey's going through. Like, she even remarks that Rey is so close to, like, something big and that she's not the one to get her there. Like, somebody else will have to do that. And she also talks about how, like, Rey is changing, like, before her eyes. Like, just even the way that she dresses, like, she looks like a scavenger still, but she also looks like a Jedi, and how she's changing and she's growing, but she's still clinging to those things that she knows. Like, she's still clinging to that simplicity and that familiarity that she had on Jakku.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have theorized with that, like, with what Rey looks like for episode 9 and with Kylo, like, they went back to the things that they were good at.
Pulling that line from The Force Awakens. Yeah. They both reverted. They're like, he put his mask back together.
Mm-hmm.
They're stuck in the past.
They're stuck in the past.
And so I'm reading Force Collector right now. And there's a line about being stuck in the past. And it just, oh man.
Yeah, about regret. Like, if you have regrets, you're living in the past. And, like, I think it's clear that Rey doesn't regret what she and Ben have gone through. But, you know, and this was in that passage that was released about how she just wants to understand. Like, she went to him, but he wouldn't come back with her, and she doesn't understand it. And Leia doesn't either. So, like, that is a question for Ben. That is something that they have to work out together. And I think Rey, we've discovered that she is pretty introspective, and that I think she will get there. And maybe even, like, talking with, like, Rose, maybe even talking to Poe, like, she's going to figure it out. And when she talks to Ben in 9, I think they're going to come to this moment where, like, they understand each other. How much we'll get into that, I don't know, but I'm really excited for that conversation.
Who would think that we'd be excited for Poe and Rey content? Who are we?
Who are we? Well, and I mean, speaking of Rey and Poe, like, Poe talks about how, like, he can't figure Rey out. Like, she's quiet, she keeps to herself, like, she doesn't have the same reaction to him that other people have. And, like, we've talked about this before, too, like, she just doesn't react to Poe the way he's used to. Like, normally people are like, wow, Poe's great, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, she really isn't. And I think that is a really interesting dynamic. And, again, like, the way Poe thinks about it in this book is that, like, she just seems distant and quiet.
Yeah.
And just hasn't really figured her out yet. And I don't think anybody's figured her out yet. But people will still make assumptions.
I almost feel like Poe's growth makes him a type of person that, like, she could talk to. That, like, that would listen. And that, like,
it really makes me yearn for the fix where Poe is one of Ben's childhood friends.
So good.
Because especially with all of this, like, if you added that on top of it, like, he would have such an understanding. And it's almost like, does Dark Pilot have
that? I don't know. Like, can you imagine that if Poe hadn't meant to be killed off in the beginning, like, they had written that into canon, like, that they had known each other as kids? Like, is it too late to make that canon?
I mean, have we gotten anything to the contrary?
I don't know.
Like, I mean, he sees him without a mask in The Last Jedi, and he's like, that's Kylo Ren, and all of that.
Without
and,
a
like,
mask.
He was interrogated.
Oh, in The Last Jedi, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like, again, we'd have to go back and watch the movies and focus on Poe.
Or I'd have to, like, reread the comics. Oh,
reread The Last Jedi novelization and just focus on Poe.
Poe, like, if he recognizes that.
man. Yeah, but basically Rey is just, she's really keeping to herself, and it is really reflected on, like, how quiet she is. And there's even a line where Leia says that she looks lost. Like, she's introducing herself, and she says, like, I'm Rey, a scavenger from Jakku. And he's like, well, you're not anymore. She's like, oh, well, I guess I'm a pilot. And it's like, well, you also have the Force. And, like, she just doesn't know how to talk about it. And she gets these feelings, and she doesn't know how to explain them. And Leia seems to understand, but I could see how this would still make her frustrated. Like, she can't articulate what she's going through. And that's so frustrating. And that can, like, isolate you even more. And it just, oh, it all just makes so much sense with Rey being angry. And, but I do. And I just, like, wow. I'm shook.
This book was great.
This book was so good. This book was so good. Like, I can't. Like, it's even bigger. Do you want to talk about the ocean?
Yeah. So the ocean was brought up a couple times in this book. The first being on page 15. So they're talking about, like, recruiting and making the resistance bigger. And Leia says, but it's barely a drop in the bucket of what we need. And Rey says, but every drop counts, right? A drop here and there, and before you know it, you have an ocean. And then Leia goes on and thinks, an ocean? What did a girl who'd grown up on Jakku know about oceans? But Leia said, I like the way you think, Rey. Yes, you're right. No need to minimize what Poe and his Black Squadron accomplished. Now, why don't you get some rest? So, like, so then we see something about an ocean again on, what page is it?
Oh, yeah, drops of water. It's 279.
Leia says, there's always hope. Leia agreed. Drops of water, right? Rey's nod was solemn, which we will build to an ocean. How much ocean imagery have we seen in the marketing of Rise of Skywalker?
So much.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that line in The Force Awakens where it's like, you imagine an ocean. Is that the place between right also, and wrong?
Okay. Let's go with the egg theory here. We're going back into the hell egg.
Eggs.
Okay. So back to the hell egg theory. We were talking about the theory of breaking out of it, like, an egg, not necessarily literally, but, like, figuratively, Palpatine breaking out of this shell. And, like, and the idea of rebirth and rise and resuscitation and everything, and water just being this, like, big image for, like, rebirth and being baptized. And for, like, them to be talking about hope in terms of an ocean and the rebirth and rise and baptism of Ben Solo.
Wow. I just, like, I can't. It's, like, that's too much.
He is, like, I am telling you, like, the, like, big, like, turn is gonna happen on the ocean planet. Like,
yes.
His, like, turn, like, I think he's gonna be thinking about it before then, but, like, we're gonna see, like, him turn on the ocean planet.
I just, like, it's, this is so much. This is, and it's like, I want to say, like, oh, are we reaching? But, like, it's so explicit here. Like, yeah. The fact that they even call it out, like, what would a girl who grew up on Jakku know about oceans? And Rey, the way that she is so quiet, like, it's mentioned so many times. Like, oh, I forgot she was there. She's so quiet. Or she said something quietly. And she said that there's nothing foolish about hope. And that even ties into Spark of the Resistance, where she wants to go and save that person. And she believes in the Resistance because she believes it is what's right. So it's more of, like, she feels isolated with these people, but she believes in it because she believes in hope and she believes in building something better. And the fact that, like, all of that is in her and she believes in Ben Solo, like, she was the first one to believe in Ben Solo, like, well, not necessarily the first one, but she went and tried to save him and she knew that he could be turned to the light. Like, it just, wow. Wow.
Well done, Rebecca.
Yes. Oh, man. It's so good. Like, I can't even begin to, like, express. My expectations were so low for this book because I was like, well, they're going to market it like it's the big one for 9, but there's really not going to be much. And wow, was I a fool.
I think also because we've been so disappointed with the books lately.
That's true. Yeah. Like, that's another reason why I put more stock in, like, you know, young adult novels, because aside from Master and Apprentice, like, I mean, Dooku Jedi Lost was good, but that's not necessarily, like, a novel. You know, Alphabet Squadron wasn't that great. We got Thrawn. You know, we got the Black Spire books, which just really let me down. So, like, I was expecting to be let down and just like, wow, we were not let down.
I think this is going to be my favorite at the end of all of it.
I think so, too. Honestly, like, this has broken into, like, one of my favorite just, mm-hmm. like, in general.
Yeah.
Because it's so good. That I like this book the way that I like the Solo novelization.
Yes. It adds things that you need.
It does. It really does. It's like, if you want that greater appreciation, and, like, you shouldn't need books to, like, you know, add things or whatever, but, like, that's kind of how Star Wars works, and it's like, if you want to have a greater appreciation or if you want to have a greater understanding of these characters, like, this is where you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really well done.
Yeah. But if you've listened to this whole thing and you've been spoiled, I still say read Bloodline before you read this.
It'll mean more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Bloodline's a great book. I really want to reread Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you could almost say that, like, well, I think you definitely could say that Aftermath has, like, a bigger effect on this book just because of the plot lines in that, but I don't think you need to read Aftermath for this, but I would say Bloodline is a good one.
I would even say, like, go on Wikipedia and read about Snap before you read this, and then I think you're good.
Who knew?
Like, you don't need to read the whole Aftermath trilogy. Just go on Wikipedia and read about Snap, Nora, and Wedge, like, their relationship together.
I say that about Aftermath in general.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of good things in Aftermath, but it is a hot mess. And it's hard to find. So, like, if you are intrigued and you're not willing, and it seems too daunting, you can find summaries on Wikipedia and you'll be fine. But yeah, it's outstanding. Like, I was not expecting to stan Poe. I was not expecting to cry because Snap called Wedge dad. I wasn't expecting Storm Pilot to be real. I'm amazed.
5 on 5.
Yes. Yes. Like, the femme gaze. This book is so femme gaze.
So femme gaze. Was not Which expecting this.
No. I would say that a lot of Star Wars novels are not femme gaze.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, like, it's specific authors. But, like, Alphabet Squadron is 100% not femme gaze.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm so floored. Like, I really recommend this. Like we said, like, this, I really think going into 9, this is going to be a good one to read because it, you know everything about Poe. It's wow.
Should we go on to a Twitter question?
Yes.
So our question this week was, what are you expecting Poe to learn in Resistance Reborn? If you already read that book, are you happy with his character arc? So we got one answer, and it was Force Friends Rewatch Podcast. And they said, I haven't finished Resistance Reborn yet, but I'm loving how much it seems to be leaning towards Finn Poe in episode 9. I'm sure part of the reason is that I've been hoping for a queer movie character for forever and would love it to be Poe or Finn. But it really seemed like they were both flirting with each other a lot. We agree.
We 100%. I'm sorry, but you don't include, like, tying their tie. I'm sorry. The tropes speak for themselves. how about our little Bebos?
It's 100% Poe tying Finn's tie. 100%.
That's such a good scene. And this isn't my little Bebo, but I want to say the fact that, like, after that, then Finn pulls out this, like, a starbird pin.
Oh, the pin! Baby!
Yeah. To put on his tie. And, like, Poe's like, that might not be a good idea. And he's like, well, I found it, and I believe in this resistance, and I want to wear it. And he puts it on his tie.
Baby! Wow.
Baby! The younger man.
Yeah, no, I take it back. My little Bebo is just the younger man.
I never thought Poe would be so soft. Like, you know all of the Disney things where it's like, get you a man who looks at you the way Finn Rider looks at Rapunzel looking at lanterns? Mm-hmm. That's what I felt about Poe looking at Finn, looking at this party.
Oh, man. I just want to rewatch all the Finn-Poe moments now. I'm sure I can find some good fan vids out there.
Poe sewed his jacket for Finn. It's just so great. But my little Bebo is actually, it's on page 95. It's once they arrive on Ryloth and they're taken to this room, and Leia thinks that it's a throne room, but it's actually a library. And just the way that this library is described and the way it becomes like a meeting room and a gathering place and like a temporary home for the resistance was just really interesting to me. And she talks about, like, she says the walls were equally distant, a pale pink stone heavily veined with silver and white. And Leia could see they were lined with, were those books? Scrolls, maps, bound books in various forms of what looked like paper records filled the shelves that looked like they'd been carved out of the stone walls. And it made me think of Ben, because it's remarked in Bloodline that people don't really use, like, paper anymore, and they don't really, like, write and all of that. But Ben, you know, has a calligraphy set and all of that. And I just, like, was she thinking about how her son would love this room?
Like, he would love this room.
He would. It's, it makes me sad. It makes me emo. But I also just love that it's a library, but it looks so, so regal and like a throne room. It's good. Rebecca Roanhorse, well done. Love this book. 10 out of 10. Amazing. Would read again.
My library doesn't have the audiobook version in yet, but I'm thinking as soon as I see it, I'm putting a hold on it.
Yeah. It's short, too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot shorter than I was expecting. So, like, it was a really quick read.
And it doesn't need more. It doesn't need to be longer.
I feel like, if anything, I would have, pared down the side mission with Shriv and getting those ships.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, it doesn't feel like it needs more. It doesn't feel like it left off on a weird note. Like, the way it leaves off makes me excited to get more content from this year-long gap. I feel like I know where the Resistance is at, what their headspace is, what the galaxy feels about the First Order. It kind of puts, like, the show Resistance into perspective as well. Like, it's just, like, wow. Like, so good. All right. Is there anything else you want to say about Resistance Reborn? Nope.
I think I said everything that I love about this book. And our criticism is so small. And even the criticism, like, I see why she did that plot line with Zane and Shriv, because their bond was really, really important. And to have it separate from, like, let's say, like, a Wedge, Nora, and Snaps, too. Because she could have put them on the same mission, but then I think the emotional impact of both their stories would have been not as good.
Yeah, it would have gotten in the way. Mm-hmm. I do think that if you don't know who those characters are, I could see where that plot line might seem more unnecessary. Regardless, I'm still glad that it's there. Especially, like, Zay is just such a interesting character. And we get some interesting dialogue about her as well. And I hope that gets explored more. So like maybe this was her way of like leaving a little thread to maybe she could like pick up on it later or something
Christy Golden can come back and write about Zay.
Oh my god. That would be so painful. All right, but that is going to wrap it up for our discussion on Resistance Reborn. Like we've been saying this entire episode, just you need to read this book. Like, it is so unbelievably well done. If you do nothing else, read this. Read Bloodline first, though. But just read this book. And our next episode, we will be talking all about Force Collector, which Alex has already started. Yeah. I am very excited to
I'm about a third the way through. Car is interesting. I don't want to give any spoilers, but I think we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I am very excited to start this book. And we will revisit our ranking that we did when we first started talking about the novels for this year. Mm-hmm. I think they've shifted ever so slightly, maybe.
A little bit, because I can tell you that I'm almost positive Resistance Reborn is going to be my favorite. Force Collector was my most anticipated one, and I'm liking it, but I am not enjoying it as much as Resistance Reborn.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to revisit that. We also might touch on a little bit of Fallen Order. We'll just have to see how much either one of us gets to experience that game. But if you have anything that you want to talk about Resistance Reborn, or if you are excited for Force Collector, please let us know. You can find us always on Twitter at @lip_lightsabers. I'm at McCarter Shannon. Alex is at Alex Leonis. And if you want to support the show, you can go over to network1901.com. That's where you'll find links to everything. All of our past episodes, our merch shop. We do new designs every week and we rotate our designs weekly. Right now for the entire month of November, we have Rose art up for #RoseEmber, and please go check that hashtag out on Twitter as well. You can also support us on Patreon. You'll get some buttons. You can send in your story for our Friday stuff. You'll get buttons for that as well. So there's lots of ways you can support this show. But for now, I think that is everything got for today, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.